You are listening to a Radio Solidarity production.
So I'm standing in a field in West Mayo, in front of a beautiful bay called Broadhaven Bay, and there's a small bay that runs into the bigger bay called Shortwatercorn Bay, and there's about, I don't know, 100 tents and 3 marquees. Dinner has just been cooked, and so I'm kind of getting to eat my dinner. But
you can hear some music in the background.
I can hear there's a puppet show going on in the background.
Ah, puppet show, okay.
Yeah, I'm up here because I think I'm here to support the Shell at Sea campaign, because I think the Shell at Sea campaign is a very important campaign in the context of Ireland's future. The ownership of oil and gas is about the only thing now that can probably say, if the ownership of the oil and gas was placed in public ownership, under public ownership, it's probably about one of the few things that could reverse our current situation, which would be good if we could do that. I'm also here, I know a lot of people in the community, and I think they've been through a hell of a lot over the last 10 years now, and I think it's really important that people just show that they're with them.
So we're in the midst of an absolutely beautiful, unspoiled landscape. I can see sand dunes, mountains, sea, tents, unexpectedly. There is a carnival of hope, a carnival of resistance taking place at Glengad, where people are gathered to in some way challenge the prevailing mood in Ireland, which says that economic growth benefits us all, and that we should all be thinking about more stuff, more roads, more cars, more iPods, more gadgets, more toys, less time, less love. So in that context, we've just had some food, things are being organised collectively, and the people of County Mayo are sharing in that, in this experience, sharing workshops, sharing talks, and that's really it.
Cool. Okay, and so this is a very magical space, and people can hear the background noise because there's quite a number of people here. But what drew you to this fight in particular, because it's been going on now for 10 years, so it's quite a massive, I mean, it can be described as a David and Goliath struggle.
Sure.
So what brought you here in the first place?
It took me a long time to get this, in the sense that I understood there was a campaign going on in County Mayo over a gas pipeline. I spent a lot of time in South America, about 15 years, looking at issues very like this, where corporations and governments sort of arrived in and pushed their way into a community to usually over natural resources, whatever, and disregarding, not looking for consent, disregarding the opinion of local people, simply came in and rode roughshod over local people's needs. So when I finally got up here, sort of in 06, I was absolutely blown away. Firstly, once you see Glengad, Rossport, and the various townlands along the way, you completely understand why it's so important to preserve the integrity of the landscape and the traditions of the people. So it is. There's no doubt that the small amount of gas that's going to come out of it relative to our needs, and the absolute infinitesimal return to the Irish people, is simply not worth swapping for this incredible place in which tourism is very important, in which fishing and farming is central to people's lives and their identities.
Okay, hi everyone. Dermo. We're cutting tomatoes here for dinner tonight, and we've been told to chop them small. And it takes a lot of concentration. I'm having to watch that I don't take off the tips of my fingers.
Don't cut your finger while you're talking to the listeners.
Because this is a vegan kitchen, and we could end up with trouble. So it's kind of nice sitting in the sun, enjoying the company and the atmosphere of this lovely place that I came up here because I've been coming here for 5 years now. First time I came up here was 5 years ago, almost today, June Bank Holiday weekend 2005, which was the first ever June Bank Holiday National Gathering, Shelter Sea National Gathering. And I was kind of attracted here because I never liked Shell. Just on a very basic gut level, I felt like they were no good for me, no good for the planet. Generally bad news. And then I found out stuff about them, like Ken Sara, we were in Nigeria, and I discovered that they were trying to build a gas refinery and a pipeline up here in County Mayo, and I thought, don't like that. This is a good chance to have a pop at a load of us. A load of people from all over Ireland came up and met, and these gatherings have been happening ever since, and there's been a solidarity camp maintained pretty much constantly. And there's been loads of stuff going on. Local people putting up huge and very inspiring resistance. A lot of work done nationally to get the news out about what's going on here, which something began as a kind of health and safety issue, expanded out into an environmental issue for a lot of people. And what seems to be motivating a lot of people now is the national, I don't know if that's the right word, but the sovereignty issue. That oil and gas out there was basically given to Shell for next to nothing by a bunch of corrupt politicians. And even from their own personal greedy individualistic point of view, I think they could have done a lot better on the deal. So I don't know what it says about them, but we've managed to hold them up now for nearly, between the locals and then a kind of national, international campaign for 10 years. And it's great. I mean, I hitchhiked up here, first time I've been hitchhiking since, God, must be 10 years, and I got to speak to a lot of people on the way up, and people, when I mentioned this, I didn't have to explain what was going on anymore. Most people seem to know and seem to understand what was going on about the way the gas had been given away and how basically our natural resources are being abused and taken off us. Not just the gas, fishing, going back to the 70s, billions of euro worth of revenue lost to this country. A whole kind of way of life destroyed.
So it's good that this has been going for 10 years, and if there wasn't this kind of level of resistance, the pipeline could have been built.
Exactly,
it could have been built,
and people probably wouldn't know about it. You know, the word wouldn't have got out there. This is an internationally known campaign now. There's people here from Spain, from America, from Scotland, from England. It's been a very interesting point of contact for English activists and sort of Irish people coming maybe from a more Republican background, and I think that's culturally maybe that's leading to us kind of perhaps a kind of healing of the troubled history of these islands.
It's good, bit of cross-pollination, never hurt anyone, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
And there's all sorts of things going on there, and it's amazing. I feel very inspired and very lucky and honoured to be a part of it.
Well, I started hearing about it, I suppose, at the beginning of 2005. There's kind of little bits on Intermedia and just, kind of rumour and story. And I came up, I didn't get up till August 2005. And I suppose the thing that struck me, like I grew up in England, and the thing that struck me immediately was just the whole colonial mindset of Shell, you know, like everything they'd done, and they hadn't done very much at that time. It was just such a mess. And it kind of made me very angry. And then I started to meet the people up here and was just really impressed, you know, by the kind of stand they've made. And but what's interesting, I think, is that about 2 years later, I kind of realised, I didn't really know much about Davit or, you know, the history of Mayo at all, but about 2 years later I realised that, my mum's family comes from kind of Rossendale, Bakeup, that area, and I did a bit of research and realised that my grandfather had kind of was working in the cotton mills that Davitt, virtually the same cotton mill that Davitt had been working in, you know, only 60 years later or whatever. And also people used to come from this area to that area, just south of Manchester there, as labourers, kind of in the summer months, you know. And it's interesting. I think those things actually kind of resound sometimes. And I suppose also there's a lot of farmers and teachers involved in the campaign up here, and my family are nearly all farmers and teachers, so there's just a lot of familiarity. So yeah, I think
you've
it's
got the other thing that strikes me is that the Shell were kind of just looking for somewhere to make landfall with this thing, and they were looking for a depopulated area, and I think they completely missed the whole significance of the fact that people have been on this land for now five generations gone back in terms of fishing the waters, and five generations in terms of even fighting to reclaim some of the land back from the sea. So I think they just really didn't know what they were getting themselves into.
They didn't know what they were getting into. And I think the thing was, that was another thing that struck me very early on, that they so obviously hadn't opened the history books, you know, and that they continued not to, even when they should have seen the signals, you know. It's fascinating, really, do you know, and that's the colonial mindset. That is, of course, what this is. That's what, you know, that's what you do. That's what we do with English people. We don't learn about the histories of countries that have been colonised by, you know, it's classic. It's also classic. It's really, really interesting. Yep.
And the other thing that's kind of significant about this weekend is that it's been going on there for 10 years. So I think the fact that they didn't look at the history books, and that they did do no research, and that they thought they could just buy everybody off, it's been a bit of a surprise to them that 10 years later on, they probably thought they would be finished by now.
Oh yeah, they did. I mean, I'm sure the government just told them there was a lot of peasants up here. They were uneducated, kind of stupid. They wouldn't really know their thing. They didn't do their research that way as well. They just didn't realise that people love the area so much that they go away and kind of work for 40 years, or, you know, go through the college system, and they're are very well travelled, very knowledgeable, and that there was a good amount of people like that. Also, there was a good amount of elderly people in the area who had time on their hands because they were of retirement age, you know.
Radio Solidarity, a new world in our hearts.
The Rosary, do you remember that? The morning of the Rosary. They really didn't know what to do at that time, the cops, you know, but after that then O'Reilly was instructing them and how to operate violently, and it got bad then after that. I'm an hour and a half drive away from here.
Okay.
I think in a different way. I believe these people are the same as myself and my neighbours where I live.
Yeah.
All decent people. There's no such thing as IRA men, or that was all Gardaí propaganda.
Yeah.
Lies, essentially. I was at a demonstration in Sligo yesterday for the Free Gaza movement.
Yeah.
And spoke to lots of people, and I was pointing out that I was a member of Shell the Sea, and asked their opinion of what was going on, and most of them didn't know what the hell was happening out there.
Okay.
And that's only in the next county.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a media
and
blackout.
I also asked them, are you aware there are two innocent men in jail? No, never heard of it. That was from all of them, you know.
It's crazy.
Ah, yeah.
And would you say you've always been political? Obviously you're going to...
I've always been a socialist, but I never really got involved in anything, you know. Yeah. I'm well able to mouth off, as you can hear now. But, I was like everybody else. I just, you know, in one ear and out the other sort of thing. If it's not affecting you, it's not bothering you. But, when I saw what was really happening here, I couldn't resist. I mean, what can you do?
Yeah, when you see a huge corporation on one side, and
exactly,
then on the other.
And you see the government are behind it all, in my view, and I never thought I'd see anything like this in Ireland, but you live and learn, don't you?
You certainly do. Well, thanks very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, we're currently standing on a sun-drenched beach with a mobile sound system providing some Cuban rhythms. And before me is a scene of total chaos, brought to life by a whole load of bare-chested young men and young women, although they have shorts on, and dreadlocks, and pink tights, and a huge amount and array of digging equipment. So this is like MTV meets The Grind meets an ad for Benetton and North Face. And what they're doing is they're digging down into the water. The water is sloshing about. There's children here as well. And they're going to try and dig down as far as the pipeline that exists apparently 8 meters below the beach surface. But really it just looks like the biggest kind of like party. It's almost like Brazil in terms of the weather. It's so fine. People are out swimming in the sea. The waves are gently lapping up towards the edge. And then you've got this massive digging party with men, women, young, old, children in there with spades, shovels, tossing rocks up onto the beach. And the actual pool itself is kind of filling up with more water all the time. Who knows where this ends? The pipeline that's theoretically going to be built up the middle of the estuary to the awaiting facility in Ballinaboy.
Watching where the falcons fly, they twist and turn all in your air blue sky. Living on your western shores, the summer sunsets and Asmore. I stood by your Atlantic seas, and I sang a song for Ireland.
Okay, well, I first found out about the campaign in early 2005 when I was studying in university. I had been living in France, I was studying in France for a short while, and I came back to Ireland and I started getting involved in kind of Irish activism again. And I suppose a few stories started appearing on indie media by a fella called Terry, who I would know, a friend of mine, and yeah, so I started reading them with a bit of interest and kind of following up on you know what it was. I chatted to Terry a couple of times, and we organised a talk down in UL in the University of Limerick with Terry, Maura, and Pádraig Campbell, Maura Harrington, and Pádraig Campbell, and that was a really successful talk. And you know, I suppose that was kind of how I first got involved, and from there on, you know, we did a few things, not as much as we would have liked to, but we did a few pickets of garages, we had a few more talks, we did a trip up here within the next kind of, I suppose, throughout 2005. I suppose obviously it exploded, the campaign, in the middle of 2005 with the five men going to jail, so there was quite a, it was very much a kind of a national front page kind of news at that stage. And yeah, so a lot of people were doing things, getting involved in the protests, you know, sending letters in, and you know, that's that we kind of formed a small part of that, I suppose. So yeah,
great. And then what was the thinking behind, at what stage did you decide to move up here and kind of become a full-time activist living on the camp and doing the things that you do? So maybe you could tell us how that happened.
Well, yeah, I suppose I moved up now kind of about 14 months ago, when I moved back from France again, actually, as it happens. And I suppose it had been in my head for a long time before that to come up here and spend some time. Like when I, basically when I finished my degree, there was a choice between going into the Students' Union or coming up here, and I opted to go into the Students' Union for a couple of years and then moved to France for a short while. But at each stage it was very much a kind, very present in my mind that I wanted to spend time in here, learn more about the campaign, get involved, because, you know, every time I had come up here I'd learned though from, you know, people who were living here from outside the area and from the local people, obviously. And you know, I suppose I'd really enjoyed it. The issues, I suppose, are very close to my heart in a lot of ways. I suppose the central kind of reason is that kind of a belief that people should have some kind of control, should have proper control of their own lives. Corporations shouldn't be able to just come in and walk all over people. So that's gone a little bit away from your original question. But so I suppose eventually when I came back from France then, at the start of 2008, I decided that I'd like... It was long past time that I came up and spent a bit of time here, so I moved up then, and yeah, I'm very happy about it.
And we're 10 years into this campaign, so where do you see, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think the feeling is locally amongst the... How do you think it's going to play it out? I know that's a really tough question, so don't feel under any pressure to to come up with an answer, but I'd be interested in knowing what you think as someone who lives here.
Okay, yeah, it is a tough question, but I would take a fairly optimistic... I suppose you need to take an optimistic point of view on it to be able to keep getting involved and throwing yourself at it. I would see that there has been a number of quite positive things in the last while, such as the Frontline Human Rights Report, which was very positive for us. 25 out of 27 people got vindicated in court recently in 1 week of special sitting, 9 of whom the judge ruled were detained unlawfully on 3 separate counts. I'm not a massive believer in that the system will vindicate us, or that some media stories are, you know, some positive media stories will ensure we win the campaign. But I do think that there may be a positive kind of bellwether, in the sense that if even these kind of structures, which are inherently quite negative towards a campaign like this, if even these kind of structures are being forced to react positively to us, then it's hopefully indicative of a positive move in the campaign. And I suppose on a more maybe concrete level, like we have probably another oral hearing coming up, or a continuation on the previous oral hearing, in which Shell, you know, it was said that the design documentation that they provided for the pipeline didn't provide, what was it, a clear and transparent... It didn't show clearly and transparently that the pipeline didn't pose an unacceptable risk to the public, basically, to the people living here, which is a convoluted way of saying it's very dangerous. In that decision, I think there was a lot of positivity for us in that decision, which will make it very difficult for Shell. Again, not blind faith in it, but I still think it, you know, it's positive, and it's something that we can fight further. You know, there are a lot of kind of plans. You know, people are quite positive in a lot of ways about a number of different things. Obviously, when there's so many people here in this field for the weekend, it makes you feel very positive. People are inspired by the campaign, and you know, the bike ride that people did, I found absolutely amazing, from Merthyr Tydfil, the open cast coal mine in Wales, to here, all to up the west coast of Ireland. And yeah, I think there is a great energy there, both locally and further afield. Like, I think there's a million things we could do better, but at the same time, I think there are a lot of grounds for optimism.
Cool.
Yeah, just a couple of specific things. I think Shell have been making noises recently about the potentiality of actually tunnelling the pipeline through. Yeah. I'm not really clear on the exact specifics of that, but it sounds like that would actually fulfil the requirement in terms of the health and safety demands of the pipeline actually being outside a kill zone, if it's actually buried deep enough. Is there a sense that people would see something like that as a kind of partial victory of the campaign? I guess then another quick question again.
Can I answer that one?
Yeah, sure.
I think there's already two parts to that question. Like, the tunnelling thing will, in terms of the health and safety, there's actually multiple aspects to it. In terms of the health and safety and the risk from a potential explosion, it addresses some of the concerns to some of the local people. Like, it opens up other problems with the fact that Shawadacon Estuary down here to my right is supposedly a protected area, a special area of conservation, and a specially protected area under EU legislation, but, well, that has to be vindicated by us, so it creates those problems. But also, Shell would like you to believe, and you know, the media has kind of said that it addresses the safety concerns, but where we're sitting here today is in Glengad. There is no proposal, as far as I know, whether without a fundamental rethink of the project, that it will still go through Glengad. And in that event, you have houses within a short distance of here, and maybe perhaps more importantly, you have the highest pressure, the original 345 bar pressure, which will be for the first just under 100 metres when the pipe arrives on shore. So that has obviously a higher potential. It's more than double the rest of the pipeline pressure, which would be at 144 bar. Like the potential for explosion is obviously, like if there is an explosion, the explosion would be more damaging, you know. So are people happy with this? No. It's the short answer. Yeah.
Well, under the banner shell, it seems to be a fairly diverse bunch of people in terms of the local community, kind of activists from Ireland, across Ireland, the UK and further afields. People came from Spain as well. There also seems to be different people kind of have actually different kind of takes. But how do you think the campaign's actually managed to hold those diversity of voices together over the years?
Yeah, there is a huge diversity, and you know, you have, I suppose, because the reason I would see for the diversity is that the campaign, it very directly affects a large number of different issues, like the social issues, you know, the imposition, as I mentioned earlier, of it on a community without their consent. You have the environmental issues, which you know, include pollution of local water, desecration of supposedly environmentally protected areas, and you have, I suppose you could also call it a social, or probably economic would be the better way to put it, issue of the giveaway of Ireland's natural resources. So I suppose that's the fact that, and you have, you know, there's huge numbers of other issues. Human rights issues are coming into the equation with violence suffered by protesters at the hands of the Gardaí, and more recently at the hands of private security with links to fascist groups and things like this. So the more you look at it, the wider it gets, and to me it encapsulates a lot of, to me, the problem, the root problem is kind of corporate control, corporate power, and a lack of respect for people's rights and people's opinions and, you know, areas, communities, things like that. And how has it held together? Well, I suppose there are a number of different groups, and that is because, like, in the local area, there would be Chelsea and there'd be Public Health Come On, and that would be because some people would have the view that a beach location or a coastline location would be acceptable, whereas Shelter to Sea would hold the view that it should be refined at sea. So these are, you know, these are differences, and that's accommodated in the kind of the two different groups, and in a sense that the different groups kind of provide a space for, you know, it's always likely that people are going to have different points of view, and it gives that kind of space for, I suppose, both points of view to be fully expressed, and yet for people to kind of go and take action. Like in even with those groups, you've got, and you know, in a wider sense, you've got a kind of a very decentralized campaign. There's a lot of people who talk to each other a lot and who are kind of very well connected to what's going on with other people, and you know, they use the expertise that's been built up. So say, you know, if I was talking about planning, I talk to Ed Moran, for example, or John Monaghan or whoever, you know, that expertise. But at the same time, if I have a particular idea, there's very much space for me to go and run with it, and that is, I think that's a huge strength. Like I can go off and run with something, you know, and everyone else kind of has that space, but also has the support of the group if and when they need us to follow those things through. So I suppose there's strong bonds, but then there's a respect for a difference of opinion and difference of tactics and things like that that has really, I think, served the campaign very well.
You are listening to a Radio Solidarity production.
I do.